The Traitor's Girl, written by Christine Wells and read by Jennifer Valetic.
Chapter 1. Annabelle. Melbourne, Australia, 1996. Annabelle Logan looked around the stiflingly hot kitchen on a Saturday afternoon in November and nearly cried. The three other women who stood at the kitchen island chopping dried fruit were red-faced, sweating, and resentful, and it was all her fault. Annabelle was the one who had coaxed and chivied them into making the Christmas puddings, so she was to blame for the utter disaster this day had turned out to be. She'd so wanted it to be a bonding exercise among the women of her adoptive family, but everything had conspired against her. First of all, finding a day when everyone was free had been almost impossible. When Annabelle's mother was alive, they'd make puddings in the bracing cold of August when the steaming bundles of Christmas cheer would spread a welcome, deliciously spiced warmth throughout the house. Then they would store the puddings, letting the flavours mature and deepen over the intervening months. But Annabelle's adoptive mother, Trish, had her hands full with the convenience store, and Fiona claimed she couldn't even think about Christmas when it was still so far away. Matt's wife, Haley, had such a frantic social life, she was booked up months in advance. So it was late November before Annabelle could corral everyone into the kitchen for this special festive treat. And, of course, it would have to be the hottest November day on record, and the air conditioner had packed it in. There was only an ancient clicking pedestal fan to move the hot air around the room. They'd opened the windows to try to catch a breeze, but a squadron of flies had zoomed in and buzzed in lazy circles around them. Fiona had whacked each of them in turn with a rolled-up newspaper, but it was hopeless. Reinforcements soon arrived. Eventually, tiring of Fiona's fly-swatting war dance, Trish had ordered the windows to be shut.
"I don't even like Christmas pudding," Haley muttered to Fiona,
within Annabelle's hearing. Unlike Annabelle, who wore a 50s-style cotton house dress, Haley was all pressed Calvin Klein elegance in beige linen and gold jewellery, her black hair pulled into a sleek French twist. But even she couldn't manage to appear unruffled in this heat. Fiona didn't trouble to lower her voice. "The only possible use for Christmas pudding is as a delivery system for branded butter. Personally, I'd be happy to cut out the middleman."
"They make beautiful gifts," said Trish diplomatically. "Ow!"
Haley put her index finger to her mouth and sucked on a bleeding cut.
"I don't know why we let Annabelle talk us into this."
Fiona grinned. "Yeah, she's so bossy. That's teachers for you."
"Oh, that's rich coming from a nurse," Annabelle shot back. "That's enough, girls," said Trish. "Put your backs into it or we'll be stuck in this inferno all bloody day."
Annabelle felt the prickle of tears behind her eyes. She should have known better than to try to recreate a beloved memory of baking with her mother. Her parents had been gone for over 16 years now, but she never stopped missing them. Besides their birthdays, Christmas seemed to be the time of year Annabelle felt their loss most keenly. Trish and Harry had done their best to include her in their family traditions. They'd given Annabelle her own red felt Christmas stocking embroidered with a large A, since Annabelle didn't quite fit. But no matter how hard she tried to please her new family, like her name on that stocking, she didn't quite fit. You would think by the age of 25 this wouldn't matter anymore, but it did. Ugh, her mouth felt like a dry dishcloth. If only the aircon hadn't gone on the fritz. She put down the knife she'd been using to chop mountains of dried figs and wiped her hands on a damp towel. Padding over to the fridge, she asked, "Anyone want a drink?" The other women were deep in conversation about some lame reality television show and didn't answer her. Annabelle grabbed a plastic jug of water and poured some for herself.